Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
It is World Autism Awareness Day. And myself and Sharunika sat down and we were like, who are we going to talk to about this? And the first person that came to mind, especially after we saw that interview that you referred to earlier, Sharunika, when we saw the interview, we were like, wow, I did not know that. And I mean, we've had the following guest, we've had her on a few times on the show already. And she is somebody that has reached so much success in her career as a very highly successful rugby referee in a woman in a man's world, in a hardcore man's world, and she's just nailing it.
And I have to say, I said earlier as well that we look for any possible excuse to talk to you. So this was just, when this came up, we knew this was an opportunity that we just cannot miss. So thank you so much for joining us. Again, going to say this, one of our favorite people, Amy Baratron. Welcome to the Groot Breakfast. Welcome back.
Good morning, team. Thanks so much for having me and the kind words as well. It's it's lovely to chat to you on a special day, celebrating.
It is a very special day. Let me tell you, I've read about this quite a bit, read up about this, and there's so much stereotypes and stuff like that, but we're going to get into that for now. But let's go back. How old were you, just out of interest, like, how old were you when you found out or had the diagnosis of autism?
So it was actually only a couple of years ago. I probably started investigating a couple of things in about 2017, just with, it's like the sensory processing things, anything. There's actually a book, it's too loud, too bright, too something, too tight. And like, I was struggling with those sensory things and it's just built on from 2017. And then I think it was around 2020, when I went for the official testing and, it was a massive relief. So, yeah, it's quite late diagnosis, but I'm sure you find in the research most of it's done by the men, done on boys, and women present a lot differently. So it's really only in the last 2 years that you would really want to take what's in the research, just, that's relevant to girls.
Can you maybe just explain it to us? Like if you said in the sensory, and maybe give us a I love the word, dumbed down version. Explain to us what exactly is it that you experienced that typically comes up?
That made you think, okay, this might be in line with even if the little research that there was on females.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. Obviously the sensory things. I feel like my body is quite overly sensitive to light, to touch, to different textures and things like that. And certainly my eating patterns as well. There's Fussy and then there's Amy. Like there's my meals, 3 ingredients maximum, really simple, really plain, things like that. But then probably the social setting was one of my most challenging and is still one of my most challenging. Just as far as it looked so natural for other people and they knew what to say in conversation, they knew what to do, they know what to do as far as eye contact, and I was just like this outsider playing this guessing game and I was incredibly awkward in those situations. So it probably built up from there. And I think just the way I see things and do things, I'm very literal. I'm very direct. When I'm traveling overseas, people are like, oh, that's very South African to be so blunt. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it as that. But I also know that I'm probably a bit extra blunt as well. But I just find it easier to be honest and straightforward.
So, I mean, especially being in a rugby referee, I want to get to this because, I mean, if you speak about sensory overload and so on, I cannot think of a more intimidating scenario or stage or place to be, like in a filled rugby stadium with thousands of people screaming and shouting and chanting, and there's a lot of stuff happening. I mean, you obviously, being on a rugby referee, you know how tight it is with time on, let's say, the broadcast, and there's a lot of stuff happening very quickly. And you say, like, rugby is probably one of the best things that you can do, being a rugby referee. How do you bring these two worlds apart, together?
Yeah, it still confuses me, to be completely honest, because like you say, it ticks all the boxes, and it should send me into a sensory overload. But rugby is very much my obsession, and I just love everything about it. So to be on the field, that's where I'm generally my calmest, my happiest. Things are pretty quiet in my brain. You know, probably the only things that I have to deal with is we wear quite a lot of things in our vest underneath our jerseys. So you've got like two radio packs plus your earphones that come into your ear. Sometimes they come like over your ears. You've got a GPS unit. We now have to wear the little mouth guard sensors as well. Plus you've got a heart rate monitor strap. So you probably see me fiddling with either my pants or my belt or like my heart rate belt or something with my jersey, like a little bit in the field. And that's probably the only thing that bothers me a little bit. But otherwise, like, I just am incredibly happy and excited for the full 80 minutes. And don't get me wrong, rugby is certainly challenging, and it certainly has its moments where I get a little bit grumpy with the players if they do silly things. But yeah, overall, that's my safe space. That's my obsession. You can pretty much do anything to me in that state, and I'm still very happy.
Sure. Nou bly net waar is. Ons gaan net hierna gaan ons verder met Amy gesels.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
World Autism Awareness Month, a day rather. En ons is selfs met Amy Barrett Tron, somebody that's achieved so much success on the rugby field, and I always enjoy it when I see you running out on the field. I'm like, yes, this is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this game. I just like it. When you just take on some of these players when they're naughty, I like it, Amy. It's a good thing to watch. I like it.
I have two favorite moments, and we spoke about this a little bit earlier. The first is a video that the URC actually shared on their Instagram that was hilarious, because all the caption says is order restored with like a little laughing emoji.
Yeah.
And then you don't even have to look at the video. You see it's Amy, and you're like, you know this. And of course, how many people quote this back to you, and how many T-shirts have been made with "I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed"?
there was definitely a serious moment in my career where a good friend of mine thought that this was the next her next entrepreneur moment. But yeah, it's those moments are, I just think about bringing the human factor, the AV factor, to the game, as opposed to being a technical robot. And I'll keep it 95% rugby technical, but I think by being myself, then I get better buy-in from the players, and they actually tend to treat me like a human being as opposed to anything else. But yeah, it also, that's just how my brain thinks, and it comes out, and then it stays on social media with 18 million views or something. So it's been interesting.
Let me tell you, I've got so much respect for you. There's just the calmness around you on that field as well. You've just got the incredible way of just slowing things down and saying, okay, wait, hold on a minute. Before something just goes haywire, you've got a way just to bring everything to a quiet moment and say, okay, wait, let's just slow down and let's just sort this out. But you've got such a good way of doing it. I've got so much respect for you for that. But now, let me get to this quickly, because, I mean, you said in 2017 you read the book, and then you just a couple of years back you went for the actual test, and then they did the diagnosis. So I'm curious as to, when you got the results, what was that moment like for you? Was it like a moment of relief, saying, you know what, I've always thought about this, and now I could just relax and knowing it is what it is now? Or was there a moment of dread, saying, oh my goodness, this is not good news? What was it like for you?
I think initially it was a massive relief, just to have things finally make sense. And that, wow, I am this way because of this. And that's great, because you probably, I can't speak for other people, but it's hard, because you feel like you should be like this person, or it should be easy to do this, or you shouldn't be struggling with this. So, you know, just to be able to get that and then start to understand ways that I can navigate my life slightly differently, it just made the world a difference. But so on the other side of it, like, as much as I found out about it, I definitely didn't speak out about it until that interview, that podcast last year with the girls overseas. So it took me a while to be public about it. And I think it's just, yeah, there is a perception, you know, as soon as you tell people, say you're autistic, you ADD, you know, anything neurodivergent as opposed to the general society, there's probably just a moment of, I just feel like people treat you slightly differently, or there's a bit of a negative connotation, negative perception around it. So I was a bit nervous for that. And even now that players know it, like, do they see me differently? Do they think differently? So far, so good. Like, everything's been okay. And if anything, they can understand me a little bit more. But I just didn't, I'm probably still a bit nervous that it then creates distance with the people, say, around me or new people that I meet. But probably what I found is, so especially with my World Rugby group, they've been even more considerate and more like, no guys, that's not going to work. So Amy needs to know the schedule. And, you know, this is how we can help her. Or let's check in with Amy at this restaurant that we choose while we're on tour to see if there's anything on the menu she could have. You know, small things that make quite a big difference to me. So, yeah, it's two sides, but I would much rather speak out about it now and, kind of share it with the world, and hopefully more can share as well.
I want to touch on this quickly because, correct me if I'm wrong, Amy, please help me and correct me, but I mean, one of the things that, like I said, the sensory overload, it can happen quite quickly in an environment where there's a lot of people, you're surrounded by a lot of people and so on. And correct me if I'm wrong again, but you'll probably need to just break away every now and again just to get some moments of quietness and so on. But then, for me, an example, it would be like if you have a look at job descriptions. If people say, like, we're going to employ somebody. One thing that comes up quite a bit would be, like, you have to be a team player, be able to be function well in teams and so on. And it seems like it's everywhere. Like, how is that? How did you find that? Because I mean, I also always think to myself, but what type of jobs would you be okay to do? But for you, for instance, I mean, you function really well in group settings. Am I correct in saying that? And what do you make of the whole thing of people having to in teams, function in teams well?
Yeah, I think on one side, there's if you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person. Like, there's no, say, best jobs for all autistic people or anything like that. It's more what works best for you. And so for me, being in the team environment, I love that. I've always played sport, played to a national level, now ref at national level, and it is great to have the team. But my team also know, and I also know, that I do need breaks from them, and then they don't take offense, they don't do anything like that. But I think what's important for people need to figure out where they need their breaks or where they need their considerations or just a small request to make a change here and there. And people, neurodivergent people are more than capable to function, and I'd say, you know, across any job. It's just about understanding yourself first so that you can then speak to management, speak to whoever you are then going to work for, and just say having slight considerations. And that's probably, you can take it across from neurodivergence to other things. Like, some people, there's no one size fits all, you know, otherwise we're all robots in a big factory and we just do the same thing over and over. You know, we're all individuals, and I think it's important that when you're in the workspace that you are treated that way. But at the same time, there's a lot of responsibility on you. So I take it on myself to, how can I take control of this and not rely on other people to say, make considerations and things like that. So, I hope that answers the question. But yeah, there's such a variety of different people. And I think it's important for people to know we do want to be team players. I certainly do. I want to be in that energy. I want to be around people. As introverted as I am, you do still feel like you don't want to miss out and you want to be a part of that. It's just sometimes you find it hard to initiate getting into the team or speaking in the team or, kind of navigating conversations say functions, events with the team, but you still want to be there. So it's about learning to be comfortable with the uncomfortable because you'd rather be there.
I love that sentence of learning to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. And then also, I think what's very important that you said, and I know we have to almost take a break again, but we're definitely going to have to touch on this, is it's not a one-size-fits-all. And I think that's important, and that's the reason why we're having this conversation, because that's the stigma that you referred to earlier as well. We obviously do the little we know that there's a spectrum, and in terms of that, because I think there's a lot of parents, for example, listening, or even adults that will have a late diagnosis like you did, that don't necessarily see themselves in your situation. But what conversations do you have? Because I know parents have reached out to you as well, that are maybe have people with a higher level of neurodivergence than you do, for example.
So what kind of conversations I have with them? I think just the first one is they really appreciate that I'm speaking out about it and then succeeding within my job within rugby. It's been, you can almost see the relief on parents' faces as well, that they're just like, oh, like there is a future, there is opportunity, and it is just about putting, say, autism in a positive light, because they probably have hit walls, you know, trying to navigate school or social situations with the autistic kid, whether it be on varying levels. So yeah, it's more just a massive relief, and I say going forward, they have a renewed, say, positive outlook on what could potentially happen in their future.
Wow.
Good breakfast with Ruben and Sharunika on Groot FM 95.5.
Gesels ons lekker met Amy Barrett-Tron, and it's World Autism Awareness Day today. And such an interesting chat and having you on. Thank you again for your time this morning, Amy. Really appreciate it. I want to get to general stereotypes that people have around autism. What are some of those that you have found that is just completely untrue?
That's a great question, actually. I think people don't think you can manage in a social situation. People think you, you can't do media interviews. You can't do, but probably out of my ref group, I've done some of the most because of my profile. And, it's probably people don't think that in a social situation that, yeah, how can I put it? I'm actually like a massive overthinker in a social situation. So a lot of people think that I just kind of sit there and then I'll pop up with something random and blunt and direct. But actually, I completely overthink people's, say, body language, what they're saying, how they say it, and things like that. And I just, I think the perception is people who are autistic aren't really included and don't want to include themselves in the social setting.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'd rather, I wouldn't want people to just leave them in the corner or leave them out of an event just because they know they're autistic. But actually, we do want to be a part of it. And, also speaking for myself, not necessarily everyone, because I know everyone's different. But, I think you mentioned it earlier. There is a spectrum. And I think the more we can kind of understand all the different aspects, the better. And often what you find is, my dog is excited to greet the neighbors. What you'll find is that a lot of people say, if they, Luna, if they, you've got the spectrum, and I might fill out the spectrum quite a lot, but actually most people have little bits on the spectrum. And I think it's important that we just start acknowledging people and trying to understand us as individuals rather than and just shutting us out to the world, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you like how enlightening this has been for us. I think not just today, but on every day. Thank you for doing the podcast. I don't think you knew what was going to happen last year, December, when you had that interview. But I think it's made a massive difference. And I remember reading something where you said that you just wanted people to say, that's just Amy, not anything else. Yeah. So from our side, thank you for being just Amy, regardless of your career, of the neurodivergence, anything else, thank you for being just Amy, because you are an inspiration, and you do make a lot of us be proudly South African. And of course, for me, it's awesome seeing a kick-ass woman carrying a whistle.
And I just want to touch on that as well. I mean, you also mentioned that for you, it's a superpower, and that's incredible. That is just an awesome way of just looking at it. I love it.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, team. It's important to embrace it that way, because I actually think it's really beneficial. You know, let's take away the negative clouds from all of it. It's actually really beneficial in a lot of aspects. So let's embrace that. And yes, it might be different to the current society, but let's change that, you know.
Okay. Amy, just before we let you go, you know the next game that the Vodacom Bulls and the Stormers are playing against each other. Are you open at all, Amy, if I send you a message off air? To accept, I don't know, just whatever. You know?
What do you need bribes to win?
No,
Loftus?
I'm just saying. If Amy can just have a good look at, especially the stuff that the Stormers players are doing, especially. You know? Are you open for that, Amy?
I mean, I do love chocolate cake, but it'll be a hard pass on that. It'll be the blue team versus the white team, or the blue and white stripes, and that's how we'll do it.
I think we're going to need Amy in here to ref between you and me before every one of those North-South derbies.
Amy, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, team.
Have a good one. Cheers. Bye. Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.